It's really cold, and it's been really cold this past week, and my family was really suffering from a lot of the temperature changes, and so I have to fight traffic and drive them all the way home, and we didn't have time to have dinner, so we drove into In-N-Out drive-thru. And we ordered our usual. Everybody has a peculiar taste. My wife likes a regular hamburger with raw onions. I like a double hamburger with raw onions. And my son likes a cheeseburger with no onions. Abigail likes a hamburger with grilled onions. And Anna is a switch eater. She sometimes wants a cheeseburger with grilled onions, other times cheeseburger with no onions. Today she on a cheeseburger with no onions. And I thought about how, as a father, I have to remember what everyone likes. But there's one thing that we like, is that we like the In-N-Out French fries. And we do like that. And so we were fighting over three orders of French fries between the five of us. And of course, being the dad, and since I had a double hamburger, I had to give up some of that. And it's a drama whenever we have a dinner, and especially in the car, and because I tell them, you know, no, you can't have your food until you get home, and but since the fries are in the front seat, I get to nibble on them. And Nathaniel's calling me on it. He says, "Dad, you're not supposed to do that." And I said, "What do you mean I'm not supposed to? I pay for this." And then he said, "Oh, yeah, that's right." And so he kind of hushed up. Now, what's that got to do with tonight's message? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Last time I spoke at ECF, I talked about the holiness of Christ, which reached out and touched a filthy leper. It cleansed him. It restored him and ministered to him. Tonight, I want us to see from Scripture, from the Gospel of Matthew, a short passage where Jesus Christ and His attraction actually draws a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years to come and actually touch Him. So whereas last time, Jesus reached out and touched someone, here He allows someone to approach Him and to touch Him. He is infinitely tender, and He is infinitely reachable. Now contrast that to most religious views about their deity. If you look at the Hindu view of their deity, He's an impersonal being, a Brahman. He couldn't care less. He's just a powerful force of some sort. You look at Allah, even though the worshippers of Allah say He is merciful, doesn't show much mercy. And He demands, and He demands, and He demands. One Canadian scientist, G.B. Hardy, said this, and let me quote it to you. "When I looked at religion, I said, I have two questions. One, has anyone ever conquered death? And two, if they have, did they make a way for me to conquer death? I checked the tomb of Buddha, and it was occupied. And I checked the tomb of Confucius, and it was occupied. And I checked the tomb of Muhammad, and it was occupied. And I came to the tomb of Jesus, and it was empty. And I said, there is the one who conquered death. And I asked the second question, did He make a way for me to do it? And I opened the Bible and discovered that He said, because I live, you shall live also." It's interesting that all three of the gospel narratives record Jairus and the woman who had 12 years of issuing of blood. And this happened simultaneously as Jesus was going to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter, not knowing that she had already died. On His way with the crowd following Him, here comes a woman, incognito, amongst the crowd, reaching out and touching Jesus. And we all know that story very well from the Gospels. So why don't we open to the book of Matthew, chapter 9 and look at that from Matthew's perspective. And we will bring in Mark and Luke's perspective as well. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 to 22. If you have your Bibles, would you stand with me as we honor and read God's Word together. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. And this is the reading of God's Word. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd of noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but asleep." I just wanted to read a few passages there, verses 23 to 24. Look at verse 20. And a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will get well." We first read Jesus' response, and now we saw her response. What's the context? He's on his way to Jairus' house. Now you understand the scripture. Please be seated. There's a powerful contrast here in this short passage. Powerful contrast. Whereas here's a woman who's been suffering for 12 years, and here's a young girl who's been flowering perhaps up to 12 years. Here is a woman at the height of pain in her old age. Here is a woman, a young girl, at the height of beauty and flowering energy and youthfulness. And yet they're both faced with the same problem. One, the consequences of sin and death in slow, nagging doses. And the other, the very critical juncture of that young girl's life. One was filled with 12 years of sunshine, if you will, and the other 12 years of storm and gloom. One had a loving, caring family with father who was so devoted to her and came over and begged Jesus to come and heal her. The other, alone, destitute, hopeless, and yet with a glimmer of hope, hearing that Jesus was nearby. One was miserable and ostracized from her family, while the other enjoyed much happiness. We've seen Christ's holiness, which repelled the demons and the demoniacs, which shrieked at the top of their lungs. They repelled and they ran away. "What do we have to do with you, O Son of God? Why have you come to torment us before the time?" And yet, Jesus is so congenial, so loving, that he attracts even a woman from afar, just by his reputation, to come all the way to reach and even touch him. That's the drama of human need. And we know the solution is the same Lord. You see, when we see Jesus Christ, we should see him in his perfect and pristine holiness, and yet he is so approachable. He is even touchable. And he reaches out and ministers, touches, and he's tender. These two seemingly opposing and contrasting views cannot be more than perplexing for the unbeliever or the secularist or the religionist. Because to them, God is so far removed, is so transcendent, he couldn't care less about human affairs. Such was the view of the Greek gods and the Roman pantheon. But that's not the God of Scripture. He is infinitely holy, devoid of any sin and any impurity, and yet he still touches and ministers to those who are defiled, dirty, and needy. He is accessible. He is available. He is touchable. He is tender. And yet he is powerful. And he is in command. And that's what we see here. These incredible contrasts. And that's why one person says that Jesus is a conglomeration of contrarieties. Almost paradoxically contrasting. And apart from the clear revelation of God's Word, no human being can ever conjure up such a being. Because no human being is capable of such conception in one's mind. Just look at all the philosophers and the religionists of the world and see if they've ever conjured up or even imagined anyone like Jesus. If you have anyone in recorded human history, show it to me. Show me where they have conjured up such a being. And you will find none. He stands unique. In this passage, I want us to focus on this woman. The woman who had been suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years. Mark gives us a bit more detail in Mark chapter 5, verse 24. And it says, he went off with him, that is with Jairus, as a response to his request to heal his sick daughter. And in scripture says, and a great multitude was following him and pressing in on him. As you can imagine, Jesus was very popular at this moment. He was known as a divine healer, as an authoritative teacher, as a prophet from God. These are all erroneous views, obviously. Far, far from the reality of who he was, God incarnate. But sufficiently so, it drew enough crowd. This is so subtle, but so powerful because of the subtlety here. Jesus has the sensitivity enough to give attention to a single individual in the midst of a large crowd of needy people. Could you imagine that? Sometimes we may think, well, how does God, a holy God, a transcendent God, the creator of the universe, care for me? If you see Jesus and the way he ministers, then you know that he knows you. He counts the very number of the hair on your head, and he is tender towards you who come to him with your great need. He is not so holy that he is so distant. He is so holy, and yet he is so close and accessible. That's the message that the scripture brings to us. A less sensitive person might have not noticed, but Jesus is infinitely sensitive to you and to me, as he was to this woman. Whatever was true regarding his relationship to this woman, it is also true equally in our relationship as well. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. This word hemorrhage was probably caused by a tumor in the uterus. Mark records, a couple of verses later in Mark 5:26, and she had endured much. Notice what he says. She had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And no doubt many or most of these physicians were men. I mean, first thing, it's embarrassing to have this kind of a problem, ongoing problem, for 12 years. You have to endure a lot because you desperately want this disease healed. But the only people that you think can heal them are these men. And you have to expose yourself to them. It's embarrassing. It's emotionally invasive. Furthermore, it says she was not helped at all, even while she spent all. This was such a desperate need that she reserved no cost, but she spent all that she had. Dr. Luke, surprisingly, as a physician, gives us a bit more detail. Luke gives us the added medical expertise. In Luke 8, verse 43, it says, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. Could not be healed by anyone. So, from his medical perspective, this was an incurable disease. What does this tell you? That all the physicians that she went to manipulated her, gave her false hope. Here's a man who told it like it is. I'm sorry. You have a horrible disease. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing that anybody else can do. I'm sorry. That's all a doctor could do, right? You know, I had a doctor friend, and he said, you know, Pastor, out of thousands of diseases there are, there's only 26 that we can actually cure. We can't even cure the common flu. we can try to vaccinate people and try to stem the consequences of the virus and kind of reduce the symptoms, but we can't cure it. How would you like that? How would you like to hear that from a doctor? And I said, you got to be kidding me. He says, no, only 26. So what's the FDA with all the drugs and the billions and billions of dollars in research and medication and CAT scans and equipment and hospitals? Well, a lot of that is to kind of subdue the symptoms. You know, general medicine is good. Western medicine is good. If you got a broken bone, it can put a cast on you and try to get you healed. But it's really body healing. There's really no silver bullet for many, many of the world's common diseases. How would you like that? Sometimes we have difficult ailments like AIDS or other diseases frowned upon our society, bring greater emotional pain and the obvious physical pain. This woman, who gone through 12 years, spent everything that she had, physically depleted of our resources, emotionally tired, manipulated by these people who gave her false hope. This is at the end of her ropes. This is where she comes to Christ. That's the human condition and the human remedies that are so inadequate. How inadequate are our methods? And yet, somehow, something about the Lord and His ways and His speech, His conduct, His very life, somehow incited hope and faith in her. Look what she says. If I only touch His garment, I shall get well. This woman had faith that Jesus could heal, but she wanted a private healing. Have you noticed? She wasn't about to go out and say, Jesus, publicly, I have a 12-year hemorrhaging problem. She wasn't about to go do that. Mm-mm. She did not want her condition to be made known. She did not want Jesus or anyone else to know that she was ceremonially unclean. And a person like her could even dare to touch someone holy like Jesus? And yet she needed the help so desperately. What inner turmoil must have gone through in her mind at this point. And yet she decided to do it. You know that many hundreds of thousands of people talk with Jesus, touch Jesus, but they were not touched by Him. Christ knows the difference between the person who approaches Him out of mere religious curiosity or a sense of adventure, or one who comes to Him with desperate need, with genuine faith. It's interesting to note both Mark and Luke use two different terms to point out healing. Very interesting. Mark uses iaomai, and Luke uses a medical term, therapeuo. You get the word therapeutic from that. Matthew uses a very interesting word here. If I only touch His garment, I shall get well. The word for well here is sozo. Sozo. It really has a deep spiritual meaning, which means to save. It points to the idea of rescue. When someone saves you from drowning, He actually rescued you. That's the idea. When we are saved, we're being saved from the wrath of God and the punishment and the judgment upon the world. We're saved out of that judgment. Matthew is hinting more than simply a physical deliverance. Something about her says, I know He's going to make me whole. But alluding to a spiritual deliverance from sin and its effects. I believe the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to choose that word, sozo, to save, rather than to heal physically, therapeuo. Two things which can lead people to approach Jesus: a deep need and genuine faith. A woman with 12 years of hemorrhaging had both. Now, before we give her a lot of credit, let us remember what incited the woman to have such faith. What incited her to draw near to Jesus?
something about Jesus' very being, His ministry, His speech, and the way He carried Himself told her that this could be possible. And I want us to understand that when we come to Christ, we know something about Him. We must go beyond the fact that He is so holy and so righteous, so pure that He cannot stand my sin. We must go beyond that. It is true that He can't. But it is also equally true that He wants us to come with our great need and with our great sin, with our great burden and guilt. He wants us to come to Him because He wants to tenderly minister to us and touch us and make us holy as He is holy. The touchability of Jesus points to His exclusion of no one who comes to Him with a great need of genuine faith. He will by no means cast anyone aside. This points to the fact that Jesus is totally impartial. He does not discriminate against race, social status, economic status, gender status, a cultural, ethnic status, Gentile or Jew, chronological status, young or old. Doesn't discriminate. Jesus was not offended by this woman's touch at all. The one who was offended was the self-righteous Pharisees. Jesus was not offended at all. The self-righteous Pharisees would not even allow such a woman to come near them, and yet Jesus allowed her to touch Him. Jesus was offended by the religious hypocrites, and yet He was not offended by a woman who was unclean and impure and yet great need with genuine faith. Cynics have looked at the church and sighed. If that group of people is supposed to represent God, I'll quickly vote against Him. Or as Friedrich Nietzsche expressed it, His disciples will have to look more saved if I'm to believe in their Savior. How wonderful to know that God is more gracious than such cynical men, right? The tenderness of Jesus shows us that He is more than simply a healer to touch a broken body, but He heals broken hearts and restores their entire soul and entire being. He gives life, and then He grants more than that, eternal life. He ministers personally and specifically. He is so holy that He cannot stand unrighteousness, and yet He is so humble and amiable and lovable and touchable that He allows us to come. He draws us near as He drew this woman. He cares enough to pause from His busyness to pay special attention to a personal need, even if that woman is socially an outcast, a small in stature before men. And we need to understand that about our Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. And if you're not a Christian today and you have a false view of who Jesus Christ is, He's some religious teacher. He's some miracle-working, healing Jew. He is an inspiration for us to follow. He is a moral example for the nations. If that's your view of Jesus, then you got them all wrong. He is God incarnate, God the Son, who did not hold all of His rights and prerogatives, something to just possess by Himself, but He gave all that up so He could take upon Himself humanity and He could come and touch and minister and heal and to forgive and to grant eternal life and allow us to come to Him as a congenial friend and to be with us forever. To pay special attention to our personal need. Does God's holiness repel you? Or does His holiness open the door to other attributes of Him? The attributes of love and compassion and mercy and grace. And I want us to experience the tender Lord as this woman did. Scripture says here, daughter, take courage. I mean, even His ministry of His words are so tender. She was fearful. Fearful maybe to be exposed. Fearful if, what if Jesus found out and He rebuked her? Take courage. Your faith has made you well. No, it was Christ who healed her. But what is Jesus saying? He even gives her the encouragement to know that her faith in Him is important. Isn't that wonderful? That her faith in Him is important to Jesus. And He points that out. And then He goes on with Jairus. And He raises up a dead girl. Same Lord. Different people. Different conditions. And yet with the same plaguing problem of human need. One slowly ebbing away. And their life and energy toward death. Other completely gone. And yet Jesus is not only the healer, but He's also the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is the true Savior. He brought more than just healing. He brought salvation and wellness. And she was right. When she did touch Him, He would make her well. And I want us to see that side of Jesus when we think about Him. He is approachable. Would you repent of all your false notions about Him? In the times where you question whether He cared for you or not, whether He understood for you or not, maybe other people, the praying people, the faithful people, maybe He cares for them, but for me, He must not care. Would you repent of these false notions and false thinking and turn and trust in Christ and allow Him to approach Him, touch Him, and be tenderly ministered by Him. The Lord Jesus loves you, and He wants you to know that. He is approachable. He wants you to experience that. And He wants you to be saved. And He wants you to be with Him where He is. May the Lord bless you as you keep these things in your heart and draw near to Christ. Father, we come before You with thanksgiving in our hearts for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that the One who is infinitely holy is also infinitely tender. Teach us, Lord, therefore, to come boldly and to reach out our hearts and to confess our deep need and give us the faith to approach, even with trembling hearts, to come near Christ, knowing that He knows our condition and He desires to meet more than our physical and emotional and personal need. He wants to heal the core of our soul from sin and to restore us to wholeness that we may be with Him forever. Thank You for that wonderful message of hope. Thank You for the attractiveness of Christ. Thank You for His compelling call for us to come to Him. I pray that we who are Your disciples would represent Christ to the world that is desperately hurting and in great need of the tender touch and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that You would be glorified and our hearts would be deeply satisfied. In Jesus' precious name, we ask and pray. Amen.